Good evening or good day, radio and streaming listeners, comrades in the age of coronavirus. You are in tune to WGXC. This is the Poet Radio program, March 2020 edition. And tonight's show was originally supposed to feature a great poet and artist from Montreal, David Javet Johnston. However, of course, since nobody can travel between countries at this moment, and because the station studios are now closed down as well, we are producing the show this month from the Lair of Congress studio in Rhinebeck, New York. Lair of Congress being the home base for musical group I play in, Most Serene Congress. And this month's show instead will be featuring recordings I made last year at the Subterranean Poetry Festival, held annually in the Widow Jane Mine in Rosendale, New York. And this is an age-old event, almost three decades in the making and running. In the last 3 years, 2017, 2018, 2019, I have curated the festival and I have played the documentation of that on previous programs. What I'm going to do tonight is, or today, this afternoon, wherever you're listening to it, is play the excerpts from last year's reading. And I think I'm going to just play excerpts from each of the poets as in order of their appearance on stage. In the first set of poems, which you will poems and writings, really, because although it is a poetry festival, at least two or three of the writers were reading prose poems, maybe even just straight out prose. You'll be hearing from Shiv Mirabito, and Marianne Janine, and John O'Grady, Jasmine Dream Wagner, and Fred Motung. Shiv is the purveyor of Shivistan Press and Poetry Ashram in Woodstock. At present, he is in Kathmandu on his annual pilgrimage. Marianne Janine is a writer and filmmaker who splits time between New York and High Falls. John O'Grady lives up in the Catskill Mountains and is ace tour guide at the Olana Historical Site. Jasmine Dream Wagner is a poet, writer, musician, and filmmaker who's just about to release some new album and new video material. Several launches for that have been planned, and hopefully they will go on as scheduled. And the last poet in this first set is Fred Moten. Fred is a NYU professor, poet, and a critic who has, according to New Yorker magazine, has offered a radical critique of the present. So let me play these recordings for you, and I will come back on the air once you've heard them say a little bit more. This is Poet Radio on WGXC.
I have a confession to make. I write a lot of confessional poetry, like my poetry guru, Allen Ginsberg. So I'm going to start off with one from, I have a new book coming out soon called Uncle Scallywag. So this poem is called Uncle Scallywag. Yo soy scandaloso. I am a scallywag scavenger. I am saucy and skeptical. I live simply on the edges of society. I am an individual, not a consumer. I don't have a car, a TV, or a phone. The biggest machine I own is a rusty mini fridge. I live in one room, a renovated horse stable. I don't eat animals. I don't own animals. I don't have children, a mate, or a family. I haven't cut or combed my hair or shaved since 1985. I don't use toxic chemical products. I don't use toilet paper, paper towels, or straws. I stand in line at the weekly free food pantry for dried beans. I live on rice beans and local organic veggies. I haunt thrift shops, flea markets, and the Woodstock Free Store. I love old books, art, and flowers. I only wear secondhand clothing. I never go to the doctor. I only go to the dentist in Kathmandu. I use herbal medications. I drink like a fish and swear like a fucking drunk pirate. Everything I say is a lie. I am not a crusty punk, a goth, or a hipster. I am fiercely independent, a participant observer, an anthropologist at heart. I am an outsider artist, creating art from the discarded detritus of mankind. I am a snarky poet commenting on culture. I am a conscious capitalist selling strange things to people who love and appreciate them, making just enough money to pay the bills, and any extra funds I can scavenge, I use to travel. I am always tripping around the planet, over the wide blue seas, flying high in the sky in a great big clipper ship, space age jet airplane to study and appreciate ancient cultures and scavenge ideas from other scallywags. I am a scallywag scavenger. I am happy. I persevere. I exist.
It was my first time camping alone in the desert at night. I'd brought a mirror in case I had to reflect the sun as a distress signal to a plane flying overhead. I knew I could collect the drops of dew that would form on the plants at dawn before evaporating with the sunrise, but I also brought bottles and bottles of water. I hiked into the fervid void, blinded by the Joshua tree's white petals. Sweet ocotillo blossoms roused my sense of smell as if it had been dormant for millennia, ever since humans stood upright, our nostrils far above the ground like the extremely sensitive twitching nose of a kangaroo rat running past my feet. Creosote blossoms that can live for 2 years without water buzzed with the devotions of 22 species of bee. Surprises of birds spangled the sky, thrasher, raven, and cactus wren. A hawk circled above. I waited for the grip of its talons to carry me off like the little girl abducted by an eagle on the cover of a book called Weird But True Animal Stories that mesmerized me as a child. I wanted to be that girl suspended forever on the cover with her impossibly blonde braids, her arms raised, outspread wide as if learning to master the new skill bestowed upon her by the eagle. Gold teeth of brutal histories extracted from abandoned mines chattered in the dust. The desert queen, the silver bell, the lost horse, the Wall Street mine, the Wall Street mill, the Wall Street canyon, guarded by cactus spikes, their succulence only for the few. I'm struggling now to remember the desert's boundlessness while seat-belted in this aluminum pterodactyl. I'm looking out the window at an endlessly looping backdrop of a Roadrunner cartoon, clouds on repeat. Trying to dodge the ostentatious gleam of the sky's great golden nugget, I sought shade near an artificial lake framed by the wonderland of rocks at a spot my guidebook called the Disney Petroglyph Site. When filming the Disney TV show, Chico the Misunderstood Coyote, the crew defaced the ancient rock drawings, tracing over them with bright paint to make them more visible to the camera. I stood in the dusk of the sand's exhaled breath. Sunset shrouded the Empyrean in violet like a Delphic priestess uttering prophecies from behind a purple veil. I waited for the sky to give its oracles. All gave way to the crepuscular. Gently rubbing my thumb and index finger together, I drew a bat from the ether. It darted in jagged circles around me and hovered there right in front of my nose, so close that I could see the expression on its face. It seemed to be smiling eerily, as if mocking me, as if it pitied my primitive abilities. I couldn't hear in its frequency range. I couldn't navigate in the dark by echolocation. I couldn't even fly. Amidst the vegetation echoes, the bat heard the shape of a cactus flower. The unique acoustic signature was a nectar-laden beacon to the winged mammal, which flew off to its night-blooming paramour. A leaf covering the flower slowly unfurled to stand upright, concave like a dish reflector. Its petals slowly spread, revealing a slit with a bat-craving scent. The bat's tiny thumbs embraced the blossom. Its thrusting snout delved into fragrant plumage. Its long tongue deeply lapped the nectar until bursting the flower's pollen pod in a spray of golden glitter that cascaded over the bat's muzzle. I asked the flight attendant for a mini bottle of tequila and raise a toast to the bat and the agave flower. I'd recently read an article in Wired magazine about how governments and security agencies were analyzing the method that bats use to identify plants, to develop highly advanced facial recognition software. By reading spectrograms of plant species from sonar reflections, they were using bat biomimicry to develop technology for finding faces in crowds and crime suspects at night. In times of drought, antelope, desert wood rats, and black-tailed jackrabbits gnaw through the trunks of the Joshua trees to find water. Their survival gives the coyotes, foxes, and hawks animals to prey on. But in the next 50 to 100 years, it will become too warm to support the Joshua trees. Do they feel anxiety about these prophecies? Even way out in the desert, the artificial night sky brightness obscured my view of the stars. It causes migrating birds that navigate by following mental maps of constellations and the moon to crash into buildings, to die from the exhaustion of disoriented flapping. When I held my phone up to the sky, a newer version of the sky appeared. A fiery wheel turned as I waited for the StarMap app to load. In the past, celestial spheres mapped my body, sun and heart, Venus and kidneys, Mercury and lungs, moon and brain, Saturn and spleen. In the present, satellites map my body. In the future, astrologers will map our fates according to the position of the satellites at the moment we were born. An ancient Chinese star map displays a constellation of six stars. In later star maps and in the sky today, the sixth star of that constellation does not appear. It's believed to have gone supernova before it vanished. Do stars disappear when you look at them? Stars disappear from my Starbucks rewards card. My rating and review stars disappear. Rock stars disappear. Hollywood starlets disappear. Porn stars disappear. A celebrity lawyer makes the legal problems of stars disappear. Disney Child stars disappear. And sea stars disappear. In the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans, they've been dying by the hundreds of thousands.
I'm kind of here on false pretenses. I'm not so much a poet as I am surrounded by poetry. This is titled Rustic Cabin. Once upon a time, I lived in a rustic cabin located well off the grid in some faraway California woods. It was a sweet spot on the western slope of the Sierra Nevada. Different forest types converged there, mixing things up ecologically. Ponderosa pine, black oak, white fir, incense cedar, and Douglas fir casually mingled with blue oak, ghost pine, golden cup oak, and impenetrable manzanita. I list all these names just to have the chance to say them aloud one more time. Wildlife too. Mule deer, juncos, black bears, pileated woodpeckers, coyotes, flickers, and mountain lions. In a nearby meadow stood a seldom used Zen meditation hall. On the rare occasions when people were in there, I could tell because things around the meadow got even quieter than usual. Next to the cabin was a large outcrop of stone with several bedrock mortars worn into it. In centuries past, this was a spot where Nishinan women would grind acorns into flour to make bread. Nobody uses the bedrock mortars anymore or eats much acorn bread these days. Even so, I tried to keep things tidy by sweeping off twigs and leaves that fell on the rock, just in case somebody might want to give the old ways a try. As for my own groceries, I got them at a big supermarket called Lucky. It was down in town, about an hour's drive away. Often I would eat my dinner outside on the grinding rock. The climate in Northern California is conducive to that sort of thing. The cabin I lived in was built by a poet back in the mid-1970s. Another poet, this one a friend of the poet who built the cabin, was going to build his own cabin close by. But something happened in this other poet's life, and instead of building a cabin, he disappeared into the surrounding forest. He was never seen again. He left a note suggesting suicide. Despite intensive searches over many years, no body was ever found. Either the poet did commit suicide and chose a really good place to hide his actions, or he disappeared into myth. Some suggest he simply ran off to Mexico. In any case, my rent checks went to the poet who built the cabin I was occupying. He now lived on the other side of the country, in Manhattan. Funny thing is, I never met this poet landlord of mine, yet I lived in his cabin, which still had a lot of his stuff in it, including a sea desk, several books of poetry by poet friends of his, and a big framed picture of Walt Whitman. I didn't have much stuff myself in those days, so I was happy to have the company of his. When you live in a rustic cabin like that, it's hard not to spend a lot of time thinking about the uses and disadvantages of poetry for life. It's also pretty hard not to think about ghosts. So that's how I spent my days, reading lots of poetry and brooding on ghosts. When night came around, I would light up a kerosene lamp and place it outside the door on a little table. I envisioned how this faint and unlikely flickering must have appeared to those who drift through the manzanita after dark. No one ever knocked on the door.
A draft. The crystalline winter's bulk arrives without precedent. On the lake, the fish the snow obscures withdraws a bit more each day, like a constellation. Fish guts blur your luminescent coat. The cat won't scram. You call him sight. His ripped ear, an oil drum's mouth. The bog flat in its palm of red ice. The jet's cotton above the lake's lazy eye. The sonic boom tears through the naked orchard. You, who think you're ugly, wear the winter like society, not by some small miracle we generate heat. Multiple patrols guard this joy, crows triangulate their assertion, our pathological trinity. I am, I will be. It's true, I believe the tangential is sacrament. I've believed blood runs the corridors of the roughly acknowledged politicized youth. The planets speak. They say, the moon isn't speaking to you. Fear has become a form of fidelity on this carcass of a hill. I don't mind the bog. I'll drink its lead as long as I live. Something in me loves its fog, and you in it regardless. It is tired and married to gravity. It is as pure as my irrelevance. I intone a note to the lake that will greet you when you come down from belonging. Love, persistence is a core hell. Career, its tunnel, bores me. On a rock, like a sacred image, I say nothing. A hawk stands on an elbow in the morass. Before I was wordless, I was torrent in an autopsy of campfire ashes, a delicate shroud. I remember your silver hair, if only to feel the satisfaction of knowing a thing twice. Valor, disorder, overgrown economy, every obstacle is the field I greet from the sedge. leaf prints embalmed in the puddle's retina, stems fused into finery, an operatic narcotic, this land. It lures me into history's stuff. Fall leaves have power, where rage is highly valued. Trees acquiesce to the rape of the wind. Convictions iced into every surface, littoral scratchy, it's true. In our country, wheels exhaust their cars. It's true they installed a drain at the bottom of our swamp. It's true, if this love isn't viable, I will love what we don't have.
Resistances impromptu. When we reverse engineered the movement, we found the moment it became the movement was the moment we stopped moving. A body politic for newly born political bodies in the drawing of one last breath by one. Pear trees full of rivers, all tied up in sugar ditch. Pulpit, gut bucket, molasses, still and still, strong and good, but gone. I was born in Friction, Alabama. I voted for Drone Chalk Line. I died in Fraction, California. I remain a posthumous citizen. So resist the reduction of non-meaning. Resistance in poetry is how we feel. Grammar striding to divine this weave and not quite seeing. When he says to resist is to become a conductive thread, that's what she throws, disruptions of itself and code in the common field. What if we could slice lived experience off the bone? Failure is life, which death achieves so we can five or six more again. There's a black poetics of integrative biology, baby, and it bends like wine. Way too good to be a little bit above what the people say. The people say my mama pinned a rose on me. We still don't know how many choruses Gonzalez gonna take. Give and take is scale off scale. Pedagogical riots, transitional institutions, experimental bands. But why does the problem of scale always swerve into the problem of audience? Why does the need for institutions always show up as the problem of scale? Why is showing up always scaling up them lonely streets? What if what the people suffer ain't large absence, but small non-communicabilities? Let's say, with regard to poetry or music, its small communicability is sound. Then find one and find another one feel good next to it. Put one next to another and sound is beside itself. Line that verge out, animal, mantic, anamathematical bruise, subdermal popularity. Yeah, they are liquidating the National Endowment for the Arts, and scientists need to freak out about that. It's like a breeze holed up in Greenblatt's basement. Will a class break up into small self-taught classes? Space-time is just an echo of mutual aid. To renew our habits of assembly, we need renewable assemblies like Langston's multiverse. Welcome to Cuernavaca. Welcome to Callahan. Indirectly act to welcome. They can't stop us. They can't even hope to contain us. People in the public better find someplace sufficient for poetry in the market's outer depths. Better make it plain as no place. A divan with a double S and a bridge with a blur and a single stanchion. A Calatravan bird where a bird played Jimmy Lyons playing bird. A double fly, airborne science, opaque in motion, motion all but still, till Linda comes sing our eyeball off the man. Her method against method is a baby Bjorn, gray-blue in a blue-black dye. I can't not get next to you, she says, in rubbed breath, whose expiration politics demands, to which the arts and scientists aspire as resistances.
Welcome back to Poet Radio. You have been listening to writers reading in the first set of poetry at last year's Subterranean Poetry Festival, The Widow Jane Mine. That was Fred Moten, and reading from what a piece that was recently published in his book, All That Beauty, and for that, Jasmine Dream Wagner. John O'Grady, reading a piece about living in a cabin built by Allen Ginsberg in California. And before that, Marianne Chanin. And we started the show with poems by Shiv Mirabito. And if you happen to have enjoyed the excerpts I played by Shiv and Jasmine and Fred, you can go and check the WGXC archives, look up my program, and find more of their poems. Each of them have been guests on my program in the past. Shiv, December 2016, Jasmine, July 2019, and Fred in February 2019. I don't know if you caught it or not, but last month we held our fundraiser, WGXC fundraiser, Tower of Babel fundraiser, and we did all right. But should you have missed that and wish to become a supporter of WGXC, we're always taking donations, especially interested in getting sustaining supporters of the station. You can look up information about that on wgxc.org/donate. Now let's continue with the Subterranean Poetry Festival documentation from last year. We're going to now hear poems by Celia Bland, who's a bard professor and local poet. Joshua Beckman, part-time resident of the area, purveyor of Wave Books. Ann Gorick, who is a local literary maven who lives on the other side of the river, a little bit south of Kingston, also a fantastic visual artist. Albany's Kenning J.P. Garcia was the next reader at the event, and the final poet of this show and of the reading in September is Cole Heinowitz. Cole's a bard professor as well, and a musician with a group called Satan's Black Acid, who were guests on my show in April 2019. Of these poets, Ann Gorick also was a guest on my show in 2019 in November. So, without much further ado, I present the works of Celia Bland, Josh Beckman, Ann Gorick, Kenning J.P. Garcia, and Cole Heinowitz.
Estate tax. This has a little line by Jane Cooper. Things have their own lives here. I inherit a house wrapped with ringworm, packed by woodpeckers. I come into an attic packed with pudenda, that is moldy peach jam, pincushions and notions, that is expired insurance policies, half melons of dirt dauber colonies, like clay rinds, like seeded flesh, stones, that is pits, sucked and spat into a dusty corner, bequeathed to me with the carapace of a mummified wasp, brown recluse, caterpillar larvae, even a snake skin crackling like peanut shells underfoot. This is just the third floor. I inherit furnished rooms, a space heater with frayed cord on the coiled rag rug flattened like a whirlpool in the parlor. A TV with a greening screen and a volume range from mutter to scream. My gross income, my net, kitchen cabinets shiny with stew beef grease, liver mush grease, the kind you scribble in with your fingernail, mine. And a sink with a ring round the bunghole like those spatter plates below the coils of the stove. Deduct those rings. They are dependents of the boing of spigot drops, that is, the moon's curve and submerged currents, that is, upon water breaking and labor, deduct that void. Dependent memories you can still claim. My taxed knees bowing beneath the lintels and beams, my shoulders hoisting the glass and brass chandelier that spiders the plaster above my dining table says, love, says, I love you. That is forgiveness, calculated in lines and numbers. Skip these. Deduct my assets, that is, story by story, how I raised this house. What is mine? I leave it all to you. And then the last one is about leaves. Trail of Tears. It begins with two lines by Mahmoud Darwish. I walk as if I were another, and my wound a white biblical rose. Dying, she heard the hiss of radiator, her hand a leaf on the floor where he dropped it, leaves scattering in the wind, lungs slit and leaking, her mind a nest of twigs. Dying, the sassafras of breath, yellowing root of tongue. Trail of Tears, Nanahela of interludes, these miles from kitchen to bed, this trail ending in the snow and cold hearts, hear them slow. Tin cans in a ditch by the road, thinning to brittle bitterness. Dead, she fell like a leafless branch, hips, knees, ankles locked, arms locked from the trunk of the liver. Dead, she cracked with gravity from air to earth, a pulpy white stripe of bark, whitening like a mouth, pulsing sap below the other mouth, open in absence of blood. When she was quit of the curl of fiddlehead at her middle region, she filled her hands with ghost fern, and half-light, tensile fronds unfurling. Dead, she sang the bobolink after its death. His boots tracked that bitter chirp over sticky floorboards, back and forth like a saw. Louise, let the bridges flow like your honey hair across rocky broad. Let your dead child fly across the guy wires of the bridge. May you lie down between the dividers, face suspended above waters, breaking below, and may you weep for your people as we weep for you.
Thank you. I'm going to start with a few really short poems. Listening to the echo, I wish I had one word poems that could just kind of bounce and come back. This is as close as I get. Bed sleeping as barely someone, fleecy dog, the tail of a mastodon. Ivy hives in grass like little suns, the day's pulse, slow alone, slow together. Remembered scents in squabbles stung, fabulously loud. Stars start, days, days. Better's dry flowers unsized anew, enormous ants climbing up wall. Dry mud boots, nose in flower, wet feet in poem, lit light is eye light. dipped into night like a fabric into wax, attuned now to the hypnagogic deposit, womb nose and rose nose. Mountain rattles and quieted birds, dapples and speckles of uncovered sun. In forest flats, the fern lit up. Creature in to make and play, dancing at the foot of my bed, ghost again. Deep house, private house, a little late saying suffered itself in the bed, in the woods, in the head with a fever. Cloud in mist, fog masking despair on the ground as if they had died, I saw them in silent protest, their bodies glow.
August 19th, travel anywhere with our clothes on your back. Take them lovingly, playfully, heartfeltedly with you, a soft wash of twinkling, glistening, step four. Add opaque color in cerulean blue plus black and white, we are meant to share our time, even the time we are apart. It happens in a split second, these decomposition books. I will decompose you in this book. I refuse to be controlled by a calendar, by summer's dark landscapes. Our mouths think together. This serotonal math leads me to the gardens of this poem. August 22nd. This cluster gear is a cluster. A willingness to share content without thinking. There's always one for you, an unenclosed tract of land that is used as a game preserve. Move or obtain by small maneuvers, have a realistic use of time and space before the construction of the body. Aerial view of self-realization, fellowship, lake shrine, my psychedelic desert, my new house. The word DeWitt is pronounced DeWitt, meaning verb, to kill by mob violence. Etymology, after brothers Johan and Cornelius DeWitt, Dutch statesmen, who were both killed by a mob on August 20th, 1672. Earliest documented use was in 1689. Notes, today's word has a better known synonym, Lynch. The DeWitt House is right up the street. August 27th, an omnipoetics, or an anthology of everything. I came back as properly whooped as one should, touch something you can't reach. These images want to be shown often to my defending body. They take their autonomy seriously, yes, a bandwidth that gives me the thrill of the puddle, or she was getting tired. Even the puddle was shaking. Check your reputation score. I'll be shifting the archives in the next couple of days, moving pictures and building rodent-proof, temperature-stable, off-grid storage in the high desert. Your soul is expansive enough to absorb it all. You are using your whole heart. Kaleidoscopic mandalas of wire and metal, a field that discharges and creates membranes that surround bubbles of space-time. So, how do you still manage to have a cupboard with nothing in it? August 31st. My mom having a smoke, Facebook is as obituary, she is the tiny figure middle right. It makes us two-dimensional and we hastily move on. She wanted me to go on a longer walk. There's so much death but I didn't want to let her out of my sight. We'll all pass through these posts. I don't know how to think about it since she has memory issues. Onto the sea shingle, cloud paint is easy to use. I'll tell you mine if you tell me yours. I eat berries, avocados, non-sugary fruit, chicken, salmon, some Chinese and Indian dishes, not beef, Greek salad, chef salad, some cheeses, Greek yogurt, nuts. This valley of echoes across so many types of writing, renewing, fusing, reworking, proof that the dead weigh less than the living, the end of August is right behind you. So my writing teacher, who is not my teacher, Robert Kelly, thinks it's really important to read the last thing that you wrote. So what I worked on this morning was like a tiny little micro nanocento of Facebook posts from everyone who's reading here today and our curator, plus posts about the people who are not on Facebook. So this is September 7th for the Subterranean Poetry Festival. The soulful eyes of Miss Winona. Adding mushrooms was too crazy already. Adding sour cream is an act of lunacy. So who wants to come help unload square bales? A stellar group in the spectacular Widow Jane mine. Or, I love the idea of this also happening in the O'Hare International Airport. I'm sure you've cracked George's collective consciousness by now. Mark your weekend calendars for this magisterial event. The creepy objects we behold. How grateful I am for the invitation to perform lovely guns of glacial shifting, extinct abstractions. One of those hammers that hit this particular note in my body. Some poetry where it's dark as a dungeon, damp as dew, as the Doc and Merle song says, now Photoshop in another row of people running away from them. The nominative. She arrived by train. I predicted my engineering would be imperfect, and it was. Headed to La Push to do our collaboration with the red-winged blackbirds of the Pacific, Satan's black acid is now online. This is a selfie hanging my dreads out to dry after a shower, how orality affects the act of writing. August flares to an end. Stargazing into the backbone of the Milky Way until the cosmos becomes three-dimensional at all night. Pietà, Columbia County Fair, Demolition Derby.
And finally, this is not a tribute, this is not after, this is against. Half cast, half curious, too sad, too serious. Only thing left is to ask a fool, answer a mage, pick up the call, change up the tone. Ain't no birds of a feather, fair weather turned foul on those coops long ago. Offer no condolence. This is no atonement. Penned in, locked up, caught the cages. Scheme, scheme, plot, plot, ready for the world. Wages of the war, keeping the struggle going low to minimum. Living just out of range. Get back, move the crowd. Some of y'all hotter than Nevada, but I'm hotter than Phoenix. Put my foot on the sun, cause I'm Dr. Manhattan and y'all's Ozymandias. Last of a dying breed. Nobody reppin' light skin harder since Paul Marchand. Nobody reppin' mixed more since Kane. Nobody reppin' gelato harder since Mama said. Nobody reppin' Judy Rican harder than this here. Last of a dying breed. Scheme, scheme, plot, plot, poof, bitch, here I be, half cast, half curious, evacuate the building, outlast and luxurious, on the hustle, on the streets till streetlights go off, tell the day I said what's good, tell the day to watch its back. Act a fool, do you, but don't act like you know, like that, get back, ivy climbing walls, thoughts racing, heads up. Antidotes ain't playing around, false cures, snake oil and placebos trying to split answers from questions, from Hierophant. bet 100, bet 100, bet 1,000, bet a stack, bet 1,000,000. Where's the money now? Where's the mouth? Sit back, clean the slate, let the camera lose its rewind, forget the slideshow that always showed you wasn't shit. Bet 100, bet 100, bet 1,000, bet a stack. Where's the money? Where's your mouth? Get back, get back. Rethink those first 9 months. Don't forget how you was raised. Evacuate the building. Switch it, switch it. Invite right to meet left. Find the top of game. Reinvent the renaissance. Ignore the curves. Keep the nose up in the air. Switch it, switch it. Make it work. Fake the center out. Cross over right off the radar. How low can you go? Practice don't make perfect. Mirrors done seen it all. Vanilla, caramel, chocolate, butter pecan, peanut butter cups. Ice cream is for kids. Melts on the sun, on these grimy streets. Deserts and deserted, roll out, wepa. Where's a word of mouth when the ears deserve it? When I move, you stay put. Ain't nothing to worry about, heard about the hustle, got left out the huddle. So when I move, you stay put. When I rush, y'all stay slow. Ain't no party, ain't no life of it. Lights out, no time for games. Ain't no wishes for better, not even for good. Get jealous, get cocky, get back, it's going down. Some's vets and some's rookies. Some start, some keep the benches warm. Some slide down the pole, some got other dreams to attend to. Wepa. Half cast, half curious. What's your fantasy? This act is almost over. Next story, been looking to move in. Find new floors, roll out red carpet, act a fool, ask a question, remember the mage, rethink the hierophant, begging is off the menu. Fangs out, fuck the garlic, something's out there to be bit. Hunt or be hunted. Put down boundaries, get supercharged, shift gears, get ready to cruise. Let light bulbs reject the power they knew from candles. For some fool with a wish and ready to start some shit, some breath done blew. Fire been stomped out. Coal's taking the rap for heat that won't stop. Scheme, scheme, plot, plot. Who's the housekeeper? Take a look at the radar. Stand next to this spot, then roll out. Come get it if you ain't scared of this grid. Take a breath, call it free, call it crumbs. Ain't no need for thanks. Stay about my business. Everything is a chore. I only do what I do for the misery. To disturb the peace. Too sad, too serious, lower than you ever thought anybody could. That was Against Ludicrous, and thank you guys very much.
Letter to Charles Olson, a poem. You cut into story the primary equal of its parts, of what has been converted from legend and myth into something called history, where people, having lived here for millennia, unrelieved, more or less escapes the conversation. You know the diminishment, I mean, the present loss of context and the misery of expenditure and gain, for which read urgency. What is it with this country that will not wait a minute before it strikes, but is always looking for its history as a transcript of experience which doesn't have what this or that girl said or did, and this is loss. Anyone who would try to make this reappear as art has to damn well respect the consequences, to make them clear, to compose his refusal of the misery in abundance, to walk in that world where you find the real in any direction, not the spent presentation of some American event lifting up meaning only to break it on the floor, asserting it should have been realism. Dear Charles, I'm not going to write to you from my usual position of giving reasons for not writing to assure you I'm alive, because today is good. The old voices I've neglected have come back and are demanding an outlet with surprising kindness given the criminals they've had to live with. Anyway, I dreamt last night about your vision of the beautiful boat. But either my memory failed or my eyesight did, and I realized I'd have to build the thing entirely from scratch. At first I froze, Then suddenly the boat tacked and I was jumping sideways to avoid being hit by the boom. I was reading this in a book I could see but couldn't feel. When I went to turn the page, my fingers didn't touch anything. It was the sacred book of language. It was open to a page that read, "Work dexterously with delight. Draw everything out from your heart. Meet it with your mind. Compose the pieces. Make them adjust." There was something throbbing in my heart, dark with a red glow, spreading into my guts and throat. I wanted it to spread through my limbs and radiate out of my body, but I only knew how to draw the forces in. So I gathered it back to my heart and rocked it like a baby. Someone on my left was beating the air away from my head with a feather. The shapes of an eagle and then a butterfly appeared in a fierce red glow. They drew closer and closer until all I could see was the color. Steora, star from a bird's wing. A myth. Back when human language was an animal, it carried the earth and the sky in its mouth and everything spoke. That was when the sun fell in love with the moon. Sun had heard that moon was contained in an old hollow log, so he scooped out the log to build a boat that would carry them away. Foolish sun, swelling sun, lie quiet. Moon is missing, and only deer can bring her back. Lie quiet, sun, and wait for deer to pass, for nothing lasts. So, sun waited the entire day, and when night finally came, moon appeared in the sky. Sun stole a deerskin to disguise himself and flew to her, and they were joined. Moon shone brightly then, but soon, she went in search of other lovers, and the more she loved, the more brightly she shone. She grew so bright that no living thing on earth could sleep, and everyone went mad. They begged Sun to put out one of her eyes, and because Sun was jealous of Moon's lovers, he did. Dear Charles, this morning someone told me that the weathermen split from SDS and became terrorists because they were brainwashed by a cult. He remembered being at what he thought was a party when he realized that everyone was performing a ritual and that they wanted him to join. For several minutes, he felt the blackest guilt for all the beings he had harmed, willingly or not. Then, all of a sudden, the guilt disappeared. And in every cell, he felt his oneness with the universe. "Since I know you studied Crowley," I thought, "now is the time to write to Olson and tell him why I've been silent so long. He will understand. This is a ritual to banish silences. Love, Cole."
That was Cole Heinowitz reading in the Widow Jane Mine last September, part of the annual Subterranean Poetry Festival, Widow Jane Mine, Rosendale. Interesting anecdote about Cole's reading is that somehow she got the times mixed up and showed up maybe 10 or so minutes after the reading had concluded, but we managed to get her on stage and fine performance. Before that, you heard Kenning J.P. Garcia doing Against Ludicrous, and Gorick with some of her Facebook flarf-type poems, mashup poems of people's Facebook posts. Joshua Beckman reading some short poems, and Celia Bland began that set of poetry. I guess this year's Subterranean Poetry Festival is still on, scheduled again for September 2020 at present. I am planning to curate this. Of course, we have to wait and see what's going on with the world over the next few months, but let's hope that we can be socially intimate by that time. We're going to keep going here on Poet Radio nonetheless. If I can't have live guests, I will dig into the archive. If you enjoyed the poems you heard on today's program, I'm going to presume that eventually they will be available on Penn Sound, as are many of my documentary recordings. Take a look at Penn Sound if you haven't. It's the world's largest archive of poets reading their own poems, so definitely worth checking out if you are into poetry. My name is Chris, host of Poet Radio here on WGXC, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and wherever our programmers are producing their programs from in these days. Hope you enjoyed the show. You can get in touch with me via WGXC or look me up on the internet. There is a Facebook page for this program, Poet Radio. I have an Instagram. I'm faculty at NJIT. I'm sure you can find a way to get in touch if you need to. Also, please consider making a donation to WGXC. We are always in need of fiscal support. We do have our fund drives, and they happen. And what we really need these days is sustaining supporters, people who can make a monthly pledge to keep the station going. As I mentioned, we had our Tower of Babel fundraiser last month, and we did okay, but we're still, in need of funding always. This is a community radio station, volunteer programmers. It costs a lot of money to keep our antenna signal running strong. So you can find any information about that, all information about that, at wgxc.org/donate. I wish you well.
Watch.
Hey comrades, this is Chris Funkhauser. Be sure to tune in to my program, Poet Radio, fourth Saturdays of each month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears.
Day.